Read a bit today. It's November already in time for Thanksgiving. This is from Bob Milton, who is the giving officer for CareNet, one of the pro-life agencies that we support as a church. He says, it's already time for Thanksgiving. You know what that means, a little Thanksgiving humor. Are you all ready for this? I absolutely love Thanksgiving. You could say Thanksgiving is totally my yam, but I couldn't have Thanksgiving alone, and I'm so grateful for my butter half. I think the leftovers are the best. Will I eat leftovers for a week? I cran, and I will. And last but not feast, my family told me to stop telling turkey jokes, but I said I couldn't quit cold turkey. Anyway, Thanksgiving has always been one of my favorite holidays. The food, the family, the football, and of course, the feelings of gratitude. No more bad dad jokes in here, okay? Just a short. It's always struck me that this is the one holiday of the year that forces us to meditate on the very nature of thankfulness. After all, it's right there in the name, Thanksgiving. It's a day to reflect on the people and things that we sometimes take for granted and to work on developing an attitude of gratitude for the other 364 days of the year. Thus the title of my sermon, okay? Sportinitude of Gratitude. Anybody remember the Peanuts characters, the cartoon strip, whatever? Lucy's sitting by your booth. It says the doctor is in, 5 cents. Okay? Well, there's a lady who wrote a book. Anybody know where Brighton, Michigan is? Okay. A lot of you do. But Patsy Claremont grew up in Brighton. She recently moved to Tennessee. I don't know why she left our great state. Maybe, well, it's because of what's going on downstate in Lansing, I guess. Lost my notes. It might be really short. There we go. Anybody heard of Patsy Claremont? Yeah. All right, she's written books titled with names like, All Cracked Up and God Uses Cracked Pots. Normal's Just a Setting on Your Dryer. And then the one that I have with me here today is called Sportinitude. Sportinitude. She was an agoraphobic. And that just made me think, I'm pretty sure that Lucy used that term on Charlie Brown more than once. Well, an agoraphobic is afraid of everything. They're afraid of their shadow. They're afraid to leave the house, and a lot of times they don't. But Patsy was just oppressed with this, and praise the Lord, she isn't now, but she was one of the original women that was a speaker with the Women of Faith conferences that started back in 1996. But I want to read an excerpt from her book. After I'm going to read you the chapters in the book, okay? And it's the book Sportinitude. The list of chapters: tude time, rude tude, plenitude, mood tude, finitude, habitude, herbitude. I don't even know what some of these are. Tudometer, exactitude, fortitude, senectitude, beatitude, amplitude, certitude, longitude, ineptitude, similitude, vicissitude, lunitudes, gratitude, and we're going to spend some time on today. Innertude, thinkitude, familytudes, megatude, feudtude, platitude, magnitude, and altitude. You thought you had a couple tudes. Tammy, who is 7, and Mindy, who is 4, went to visit their grandma. After a few hours, as can sometimes happen at grandma's house, the girls grew restless. Big sister began to notice that bored little sister was following her everywhere. In an attempt to lose her sibling's shadow, Tammy slipped into the bathroom and began to brush her hair. Much to her aggravation, Mindy appeared at the bathroom door and gawked at Tammy's every move. "What are you looking at?" spewed Tammy. Insulted by her sister's lack of hospitality, Mindy crossed her arms and said, "What's wrong with your attitude?" This is coming from a four-year-old. Tammy shook her head in disgust and with one hand on the hip replied, "You don't even know what an attitude is." Insulted, lip quivering, Mindy stamped her foot and retorted, "I do too. It's something that stinks." How true. Stinky attitudes are airborne. They waft around and add to the pollution on planet Earth. But we don't have to take a deep breath to detect attitudes. They're as obvious as a pair of new iridescent sneakers. Just as surely as we wear our Liz Claibornes and Ralph Laurens, we can be seen strutting, sneaking, slumping around in our negative tudes. A raised eyebrow, a leer, a sigh, a tilted head, folded arms, and pursed lips are just some of the outward adornments that give away our inner attitudes. Nell provided her co-worker, Sue, with an elaborate display of attitude as they wended their way to lunch. Nell, talking nonstop about a rough week. She whined and wailed over everything from escalating taxes to her boss's unfair expectations to her unending household duties. When Nell paused to take a breath, Sue, who had obviously had an earful, shook her head and declared, "Girlfriend, you are really sporting a tude." "Yep, sporting a tude pretty much describes my wardrobe more often than I'd like to admit. At times I've even worn the layered look, simultaneously sporting several tudes of questionable taste. But I'm not alone." A group of young women who had just heard me speak on sporting a tude were chatting among themselves when one of the gals confessed, "My problem is sometimes I have a tude on top of a tude." Her friend responded, "Well, I get a tude on top of a tude on top of a tude." The third friend quickly chirped, "Why, that sounds like a multitude to me." The dictionary defines an attitude as a position of the body or manner of carrying oneself, indicative of a mood or condition, a state of mind or feeling with regard to some manner, disposition. Sounds like all we have to do to stop sporting a tude is to reposition our position, recondition our condition, and dispose of our disposition. Oh my, this could take time. No, make that surgery. When my husband Les had a heart bypass, I learned that during the operation, the doctor would hold Les's heart in his hand. I said to a friend, "He's going to get fingerprints on it." Her response was, "Grow up, Patsy. The doctor will wear gloves." What I was trying to say was that the surgeon holding Les's heart was so invasive, so personal, so intimate. I think that that's the scary part of looking at the condition of our attitudes as well. That kind of examination opens up the heart of who we are deep inside ourselves. I suspect that that might not be a pretty sight. The good news is that not all tudes have to be eliminated. Some of them better benefit us, motivate us, deepen us, and inspire us. Embracing life-giving attitudes more fully will add to our wellness, enhance our relationships, and clothe us in honorable attire. That part, talking about her husband's heart being held in the hands of the surgeon, and how intimate that is, and how if we are such a good friend to somebody that we can step on their toes when they're sporting a tude and tell them to knock it off, because sometimes that's what we need to hear. But to also be the kind of friend that loves them in spite of their tudes, that loves them in spite of their tudes. I know spouses never ever have tudes towards their spouse, so you don't have to worry about that. I'm not talking to spouses today, okay? I often use the expression, if what comes out if the world squeezes you, that we need to permeate ourselves so much in the Word of God and spending time with God, that if the world squeezes us, that Jesus comes out, that we reflect Him in whatever the world tries to press in upon us, that we will reflect Him back, that we will ooze, that we will ooze Jesus, because we've been so marinated, so saturated, so soaked in our relationship with Him, in the Word, and in prayer. Had a commander when I was at Michigan Tech with the Air Force ROTC program. And one of his, of course, being in the Air Force, this was very appropriate, but one of his favorite lines was, "Your attitude will reflect your altitude." Makes sense, doesn't it? Your attitude will, are you ever going to get off the ground, or are you always going to be stuck on the ground? Are you going to be able to soar and gain altitude? Will your attitude allow that? Now, I said I was going to read a lot today. Now I'm going to transition. I'm going to read a lot of scripture verses to you. If you want, I can get you copies later. Don't even try to turn and keep up, because I've got them printed on sheets. And trust me, they're from the Word of God, but there's so many that we'd spend the whole morning flipping. But I want you to, okay, I'll tell you what I did. I went to Blue Letter Bible, and I did a word search on thanks, and thanksgiving. Okay? They're mentioned 161 times in Scripture. Some of them from like Leviticus, and that don't really apply to where I'm trying to go today in the thought of thanksgiving. But as I read these verses, there's a predominant theme that's going to jump out. Now, there are going to be some verses that don't have anything to do with that theme, but I'm just going to keep reading them in order, okay? But listen for the theme. 1 Chronicles 16:4, "He appointed some of the Levites as ministers before the ark of the Lord, even to celebrate and to thank and praise the Lord God of Israel." If they're in the same book, I'm just going to give the reference, okay? 23:20, still in 1 Chronicles. "They are to stand every morning to thank and to praise the Lord, and likewise at evening. 29:13, "Now therefore, our God, we thank you and praise your glorious name." 1 Thessalonians 2:13, "For this reason, we also constantly thank God that when you received the word of God which you heard from us, you accepted it not as the word of men, but for what it really is, the word of God, which also performs its work in you who believe." Second Samuel 22:50, "Therefore I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the nations, and I will sing praises to your name. O give thanks to the Lord, call upon his name, make known his deeds among the people. O give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Then say, save us, O God of our salvation. Gather us and deliver us from the nations to give thanks to your holy name and glory in your praise. When he had consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said," how often would you love to have an army marching in front of you when you're going into a conflict? Just your day that you know is going to be a struggle. To have an army going in front of you, thanking the Lord and singing and praising his name. That's a visual. That's a visual. It makes me think of Rock Shazak. Rock Shazak. Be strong and courageous. And that when the army's marched around Jericho, There's thought that that may have been one of their war chants. Rock Shazak. Rock Shazak. Be strong and courageous. But as before you go into battle, that even then, that your focus, and especially then, that your focus is on our Heavenly Father. When he had consulted the people, he appointed those who sang to the Lord and those who praised him in holy attire as they went out before the army and said, "Give thanks to the Lord, for his loving kindness is everlasting." Hezekiah appointed the divisions of the priests and the Levites. Both the priests and the Levites set them aside for burnt offerings, for peace offerings, to minister and to give thanks and to praise in the gates of the camp of the Lord. They sang, praising and giving thanks to the Lord, saying, "For he is good, his loving kindness is upon Israel forever." And all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord, because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. That was Ezra. And if you're thinking about Nehemiah back a few years when we rebuilt the wall with Nehemiah and his crew. Psalm 7:17, "I will give thanks to the Lord according to his righteousness and will sing praise to the name of the Lord Most High." 18:49, "Therefore I will give thanks to you among the nations, O Lord, and I will sing praises to your name." Sing praise to the Lord, you his godly ones, and give thanks to his holy name, that my soul may sing praise to you and not be silent. O Lord, my God, I will give thanks to you forever. Give thanks to the Lord with the lyre. Sing praises to him with a harp of 10 strings. There are 10 strings on your guys' guitars? You're not using the right one. I will give thanks in the great congregation. I will praise you among a mighty throng. I will give thanks forever because you have done it, and I will wait on your name, for it is good in the presence of your godly ones. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing praises to you among the nations. So we, your people, are the sheep of your pasture. We will give you thanks forever to all generations. We will tell of your praise. It is good to give thanks to the Lord and to sing praises to your name, O Most High. When I was reading through these, so many of these are from Psalms. In my heart, I said, is it no wonder that God said David was a man after his own heart, even though he was a sinner, a murderer, and an adulterer? He confessed his sin to God. And yet, you won't find, I'm sorry, but we don't find verses like this in the New Testament. Meditate on the Psalms, folks. They're good. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. I praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness is everlasting. Save us, O Lord our God, and gather us from among the nations to give thanks to your holy name and to glory in your praise. I will give thanks to you, O Lord, among the peoples, and I will sing praises to you among the nations. I'm only reading about every fourth or fifth one. Otherwise, we could be here for a while. With my mouth I will give thanks abundantly to the Lord, and in the midst of many I will praise him. Remember that one. We're going to come back to that one. Praise the Lord. I will give thanks to the Lord with all my heart in the company of the upright and in the assembly. I will give you thanks with all my heart. I will sing praises to you before the gods. To you, O God of my Father, I give thanks and praise, for you have given me wisdom and power. Matthew 26:27. When he had taken the cup and given thanks. He gave it to them saying, "Drink it. Drink from it, all of you." Romans 7:25, "Thanks be to God through Jesus Christ, our Lord." 1 Corinthians 11:24, "And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me. 1 Corinthians 15:57, but thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Second Corinthians 9:15, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. Ephesians 1:16, do not cease giving thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, and there must be no filthiness and silly talk. Okay, we talk about when we're being squeezed. There must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. For what thanks can we render to God for you in return for all the joy of which we rejoice before our God on your account? 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. Through him, let us continually offer up a sacrifice of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to his name. It's one of the best ones in the New Testament there, Hebrews 13:15. In the days of David and Asaph in ancient times, there were leaders of the singers, songs of praise and hymns of thanksgiving to God. With the voice of joy and thanksgiving, a multitude keeping festival, I will praise the name of God with song and magnify him with thanksgiving. Let us come before his presence with thanksgiving. Let us shout joyfully to him with psalms. A psalm of thanksgiving. Shout joyfully to the Lord, all the earth. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. Let them also offer sacrifices of thanksgiving and tell of his works with joyful singing. You're getting the idea, I think. What goes with thanks and thanksgiving? Praise to the Lord. Amen and amen. What ought to fill our hearts every day, not just once a year? We think back to the pilgrims and what they went through and how grateful they were to God to safely bringing them to this land, to giving them a land and a place where they could worship freely, worship as they pleased, worship as they felt God would have them to worship, not according to the state church. Our hearts just ought to be overflowing with thanksgiving. And when we are thankful, we have an attitude of gratitude. We should be praising his name, lifting our hands to him and thanking him for what he has done for us. Those things which, Matthew 15:18, those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart. Luke 6:45, a good man out of the good treasure of his heart bringeth forth that which is good. And an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth that which is evil. For of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaketh. Romans 10:9, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, you shall be saved. As we get ready to partake of our dinner here today, we have so much to be thankful for. I mean, so much first is our salvation in Jesus Christ and him alone. We have his word that we can be thankful for. It teaches us who he is, what he's done for us, his greatness and his graciousness, his mercy, his love. And as we are thankful to Him, and that doesn't even touch the material world. That doesn't even touch the clothes, the houses we have, the cars we drive. Our hobby stuff, our hunting things, our fishing things, our games that we like to play. It's just, if you go there, there's the spiritual side to it, and then there's the material side to it. And He has so richly blessed us on both sides. What comes out of your mouth when the world squeezes you? What tood are you sporting? like the one said, well, I got tood on top of my tood. Well, that's a multitude. Yeah, it is. But the primary multitude we should have in our hearts is a tood of worship and praise to our Heavenly Father, to our great God and Savior, for who He is and what He has done for us. I hope y'all came hungry, because I know we have 4 turkeys out there and a whole bunch of other food. Well, let me get my dad jokes out about eating. Can I eat, or can I quit cold turkey, or I cran, eat leftovers. Okay, yeah. My kids would say all sorts of stuff to me after the service if they were here. That I even read those. Those weren't my jokes, okay, but I read them, so. But let's in folks, as we give out these shoe boxes, and in a minute we're going to talk about the Christmas gifts that we're going to do for some families in our community this year. We need to pray over each one of those boxes of food that we deliver today. We need to pray over each one of the gifts that we purchase, just as much as we pray over every one of those shoe boxes that's going forth. Because these boxes have, in our community, the opportunity for us to share Jesus Christ with those that may not and probably don't know Him. So even if you're not delivering a box today, please be praying for those boxes that are being delivered. We're going to have, I'll go into it right now. In the corner, we have a Christmas tree. Last year, we sponsored 10 kids in the community, and at our last business meeting, the church agreed that this year we would double that to 20. There's 40 tags on that tree, 2 for each child that we've agreed to sponsor. There's 10 family units, 20 children in those 10 families. Those families are the ones getting food boxes today. We would like you to take some of those and purchase those gifts. And if you can have the gifts wrapped back in 3 weeks, by the 15th of December, we'll be doing food boxes again just before Christmas. When we deliver the gifts for the kids, we will also be delivering food boxes again. Next time, we're going to ask for a little more personal involvement from y'all. If you will do some baked goods, Christmas cookies, maybe some of you have a specialty of baking fresh loaves of bread, banana bread, lemon bread, zucchini bread, whatever bread. What was that one? Bready? That was one of the jokes, wasn't it? Something about bready? Are you bready? Okay. I'll stop. Those are so bad. Anyhow, Please don't let your kids run over and grab them off, or if they are, make sure they're responsible enough to tell my wife. She's going to stand by the tree, and as you pull tags off, please get with her, because there's numbers on the back. There's no names on the tag. It'll say 15-year-old boy and what he might want, or 6-year-old girl, okay? But on the back is a number. Make sure that, Beth, do you need any other information other than that? Okay, so that we can keep track. And when you take the tag with you. We had some problems last year. Some people put the tag back on the tree, and then Some tags got taken twice and some didn't get taken, okay? Take the tag with you. When you wrap the gift and bring it back, bring the tag back with the gift. Does that make sense? Does that sound logical? Okay. Excuse me. Take the tag with you. Please do not put the tag back on the tree. Don't walk away from the tree without letting Beth know what number you have, because it gets really hard chasing 40 gifts that you don't know who's getting what for who, okay? I'm trying to do this orderly. I'm sorry, it might take a little of the fun out of it, but we got to do it orderly so we know who's it's, what's it's, okay? Yeah. And you can mill around and do that before dinner. That'll give the ladies a few minutes to get the food on the table and get it ready for us. I am going to close in a word of prayer, and I will ask the Lord to bless the food at that time so that it's when it's ready, you can go through the line. Excuse me. I've been talking too much. We've been asked to allow the families with children to go through first. Parents, that means you go through with them, okay? Don't just send the kids over. Go, parents, go through the line with your kids, get your food, and then those without, well, all of us bigger kids, we'll follow and go with them. Yes, absolutely. Asher will demolish that table if his mom and dad don't go through with him. All right. Any questions on the boxes? You can see me after you're done eating, so we don't have to worry and lose things beforehand. And you'll have a few minutes to get to the Christmas tree and get some of the ornaments off the tree to take. And don't feel like all of them have to be gone today. I know Rick and Robin aren't here today. I know there's several other people that aren't here today that might want to have a chance. Don't want to discourage you from taking. If you want to take two, that's fine. Please have them back by December 15th. And thank you. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your willingness to share of the blessings that God has given us to those in our community, to help out, to reach out. And I wish y'all could have heard the calls I was making last night to the people. It was kind of fun. But anyhow, let's pray. Father, help us to have grateful hearts. Help us to remember to be thankful. And in our thankfulness, to praise your name, to exalt the name of Jesus Christ above all other names. Thank you, Lord. We thank you for the food that we're going to partake of. We thank you for your provision of it. And we thank you for the health and the nourishment that that food will give us. Father, for those that aren't here today, we miss them. Some are in need of your touching, healing hand. We remember Elwin and Rick, and I know there are many others, Father. And Justin, just that you will comfort them and encourage them, Lord. And Father, help us to be thankful for all that you have done for us, for your Son, Jesus Christ. We give this time for you, and Father, we do pray that each one of these boxes that goes out of food will touch a family and maybe open that door to allowing us to share the gospel of Jesus Christ with them. We're sharing the food with them, and in that they'll see generosity. But Father, help us not to say that that's our generosity, because God, it's yours. The praise goes to you, to your name. But use those boxes for your work, Father, to accomplish your will, that it would be done here in Newberry. We commit this day and give it to you, Father. We look forward to the fun and the fellowship just ahead of us. Thank you for this time, and we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen.